Right now, religion meets reality TV. Five men find themselves at a crossroads and decide to seek God and to do it on national television. All five, in the midst of personal crisis, stepped forward and took that leap as participants in The Monastery, a new series that premieres this Sunday on the Learning Channel. For 40 days and 40 nights, they live in a Benedictine monastery. They follow the same rules as the monks and hope to find, well, faith, for one. But as the show makes clear, the path is not easy.
God is not interested in what you were. Remember not the things of the past. I'm interested in who you might become.
It's a leap of faith. I'm not ready to make that leap.
That was Brother Joseph Gabriel, one of the Benedictine monks at the Monastery of Christ in the Desert, talking with Jonathan, one of the five participants in the program. Will Morales is another participant on the Monastery. He served 10 years in prison as a convicted drug trafficker. His life was further devastated when his younger brother, who followed him into the gang life, was shot and killed by police. We'll talk with Will Morales in just a moment. But first, let's listen as he explains on the program his reasons for trying out life in a monastery.
There are still people that I ran with that are hanging in the corners. And if not, I see ghosts in those corners of the lives that have passed by. And the thing is that deep down inside my heart, it's like, I don't know how to tell you something, but inside my heart, there's something about, you know, being the person that wasn't there for me.
Yeah.
And there for my brother.
Will Morales, a participant in the reality TV show The Monastery. If you have questions for Will about what he did, why he did it, and what it was like doing it in front of television cameras, give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Will Morales is with us now from member station WBUR in Boston, Massachusetts. And thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
And how did you find your way on this program?
Actually, I think I was very different than the other participants. I had received a call from one of the associates who had gotten my name from another individual in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. who had heard me speak at some event and said, this is the guy that you definitely want to pull into the show. And when I first received the call, of course, I was in a sort of in a transitional moment, and I was in a meeting and I was running around. And at first, I didn't even think about doing the show myself. And the associate continued to be persistent, and I thought about first referring a friend to the show,
mm-hmm.
and my friend turned around and said, you know what, I think you need the show. You need to actually go through this experience. I think you need to be saved. And I thought about it and pondered about it for a little while, and then what happened was last November, I had gotten home one evening with my one-year-old daughter, and I can hear a couple of young men who were having a slight altercation. As I pulled my one-year-old daughter out of the car and opened up the house door, shots ran out. And when I went back later to look at the vehicle, two bullets penetrated through her car seat. And then I really sat down and said, you know, maybe I do need some time to get away and think about a sabbatical and see where my life is heading, because here I was in 2005 dodging bullets, the same bullets that I dodged in 1985. And I was trying to think about, since I'm involved in nonprofit work and working with young people, I was trying to think about, and I started thinking to myself and saying, am I really making a difference? Am I really making a change?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that maybe coming on the show would be a good opportunity to sort of explore where am I going, where am I heading, and you know, and really to hopefully begin to define what is God's role or my purpose in this world.
It's an interesting thing to talk about, though, in the context of a television program. You and the other four participants, well, you're cast members. As you said, the associate producers of the program reached out to you and the other people and said, would you like to do this, and we can film you doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very unique, you know. I always looked at it and, like I said, approached it as a sort of a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to transform, if any type of transformation was going to happen in a sabbatical, how many people get the opportunity to document it and have it documented? And one of the things that I kept getting reassurance is that, unlike reality-based television where someone's competing for something, a prize or you know, some bragging rights or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there was no competition. And we never had to worry about any of the monks voting us off or we were prayed off. Or so I knew that the format was going to be a little bit different.
This was not going to be Survivor the Monastery.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be Survivor the Monastery. But that I knew that we were going to be pushed. To the extent that we were going to be pushed was the thing that I didn't expect.
Hmm.
And I thought coming into it, which I didn't know none of the other guys until the day we showed up on the show. But at least I thought I was a little bit more prepared because I was raised as a Catholic. I had did time in prison, so it's like a monastery. You know, yep, I mean, it's probably not the most healthiest monastery you want to be in.
You've spent time in a cell before.
I spent time in a cell before, and then to find that when I got there and they showed me my room, they called it a cell. Here I am going from one cell to another cell. So I thought I would have been a little bit more prepared than some of the other participants because I knew what it was to sort of isolate yourself in such an environment.
But were you surprised, in fact?
Oh, yes. I was extremely surprised. One thing that really took me off guard is that I didn't expect the way the monks were really hospitable to us, you know, and the way they really reached out to us. And I started, for the first time, I've heard the phrase community and a living community. I would really come to really understand what a living community is, and I really saw how, especially the monks, really cared to make sure that they meet each other's needs in some shape, way, or form. So
hospitality is one of the things that Benedictines specialize in.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and as being a city kid, I never really noticed it. I've heard about it exists somewhere down in the south. You know, I mean, southern hospitality, but I've never really experienced it to the extent that these guys really went out of their way to try to, make us as welcoming. But at the same time, they didn't hold back when it came time to, understanding that there is a real life here at the monastery. So, when they rang that bell at 3 a.m, and you didn't wake up, the thing is that they were going to come knock at your door and they were going to say, time for service. So we needed to get up and go, So they knew when to be harsh with us as well.
Let's get a caller on the line. And by the way, if you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. This is Steve. Steve calling us from Eureka in Illinois.
Very interesting. The first thought I had were about silences and how difficult it is for many people in our society to deal with them. I was wondering, how did you deal with the silences and how did it affect you?
We should point out the Benedictines are not always silent, but they're silent a lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can expect the Benedictine monks to be 70% silent. I probably had the biggest issue. I was a city kid all my life. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in Williamsburg, and I always always had noise in the household. I'm Puerto Rican, so we grew up in a very loud household as well. And so noise was always something that always consumed my life. I had a really tough time trying to find a moment of silence. And the biggest thing is that it wasn't only about being silent verbally, but it was about also silencing what was happening inside your mind. And really starting to focus on just what's around you and becoming aware of what is around you. But one of the most important lessons that I really did learn being at the monastery is that there are times in our life that silence is really needed. It's in that silence that sometimes we can hear the whispers that come, from heaven. And whatever you might define heaven to be, but it's a way sometimes you can really listen to yourself and know how to be more attuned with yourself. But I think as you watch the show, you will see that I had probably the biggest issues to try to adapt to silence because I couldn't.
Well, let me ask you, do you now, having gone through this experience, do you meditate in silence?
Oh, yes, I do. I find moments where I can break off and engage in what I was taught there, to be in silent prayer. It doesn't mean that you're praying. It just means that you're finding a time to be quiet, listening to your body, listening to what's happening. Reflecting a little bit about what might have happened in a day, trying to find those little small blessings instead of focusing on the big problems that sometimes consume us. I could tell you that I am sleeping a whole lot better because I'm able to put this kind of practice into my life and really reaping the benefits from it.
What time is the show going to be on?
I believe it's going to be, and it depends on where you're actually located.
Check local listings.
Local listings on TLC.
What network?
The Learning Channel.
TLC. Learning Channel.
On the what?
The Learning Channel, TLC.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Also with us is Brother Luis, a monk who counseled Will during his time at the monastery, and he's with us today from Stepbridge Studios in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Good of you to be with us, Brother Luis.
Hi.
And as you listen to that last statement from Will, he seems to have learned something.
Yes, I'm very glad to hear that from Will. And I did receive an email from him where he said that he now starts to pray with his family.
Yes.
I wonder, Will told us a little bit about how and why he got involved with this program. Why did a Benedictine monastery agree to have five men come and be filmed by a television crew?
Well, it was a challenge for us, and the abbot agreed, and he said it would be a good form of evangelization, letting the outside world know that we do exist. the monasteries do exist.
They do exist, and there are 30 of you in the monastery of Christ in the Desert?
That's right. And, well, actually not 30, because some of the brothers are out studying in other places in the States.
So they move in and out. I wonder, it is a remote location, or at least it looks that way on the TV show.
Yeah, it is very, very remote. It's out in Abiquiu. You have to pass through a 30-minute dirt road to get to our place.
From the highway. We're talking with Brother Luis of the Monastery of Christ in the Desert and with Will Morales, a participant in a reality TV show that debuts Sunday night on the Learning Channel called The Monastery. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I wanted to ask both of you, Brother Luis, you had these five participants very different, I would assume, from other visitors to your monastery. What did you learn from them?
Well, I learned from them to be more faithful in what I want to be, a monk, in terms of silence, in terms of being punctual and coming to the services and all that sort of thing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. And trying to get down to myself, why am I here? Why did I become a monk?
So they challenged you in a way.
In that way, yes.
And I wonder, Will Morales, what you learned from your fellow participants, and again, this was cast, it's sort of a, you know, World War II platoon, the cynic, the former comedy writer who's an alcoholic, two former Marines.
Well, I think that what I learned is that I'm definitely not alone in the world, and that there are issues and there are concerns and there are things that people are always trying to work on. And I found out that within it, I found a brotherhood. You know, I lost my one brother to street violence, but I gained a community of brothers who really became constant vigil over my spiritual growth when I was there, and basically were there to support me. I mean, overall, I mean, Tom Kramer, who was actually one of the five participants, he puts it very well when he says, you know, I don't regret going through the experience. I just can assure you that I'll never do it again, you know, and I can assure you that I will never do it again. But, you know, C.S. Lewis also puts it very well when he says, you can't enter a strange land and come back not change. And I feel that, you know, just to go through a process of change and share that change with other people that you're also witnessing who are changing in the same format was very uplifting, and it's something that I've carried through, with me throughout my life.
There's a moment in the film where, a lot of the participants get involved in interpersonal difficulties, and this is a clip we listened to Abbot Philip, the big boss there at the monastery, talking about the difficulty sometimes of interpersonal relationships at a monastery.
In monastic life, one of the first things that a monk has to learn is to live with his brothers. And when monks come in, the first thing they find out is that their brothers are simply human beings, and almost inevitably, they're disappointed. And so at the heart of monastic life, and I think this is true for our participants, is learning to live in forgiveness. Only when we begin to forgive can we begin to see the reality of the other person.
You can see several clips from this program at our website, npr.org. There, the men explain their varied backgrounds, and in one scene, a participant expresses some doubts about the story of the Virgin Mary to a startled monk. So we could get it. Anyway, let's get another caller on the line. This is Gene. Gene's calling us from New York City.
Yes, hi. My question is this. Personally, I developed a drug problem within the last couple of years. I entered a drug facility last August of 2005, and there was a lot of talk about finding the higher power, making amends, and it sounds a lot like little monastery life in a sense. Would you recommend maybe a person who doesn't who's tried the rehab drug rehab program and have not actually understood it or found it useful. Would you recommend someone to actually try to enter a monastery or see how that works for them?
Will Morales?
Well, I mean, if I use Tom as the example, Tom was actually the person who had went through recovery and stuff. And one of the biggest issues that Tom had was that as he went through a 12-step program, when it came to that question of the higher power, it was actually inhibiting him from completing that whole 12-step program and taking that philosophy and incorporating it into his life. I mean, what I could tell you is that becoming a monk is not something that you just think overnight. And I'm sure that my mentor, Father Luis, will tell you it's something that really has to be carefully thought about because it, it really is a reorganizing of your life and looking at how you're going to basically incorporate this ancient practice and then have it intertwined with the essence of your soul and look at how it's going to hopefully benefit your life. I mean, if you feel that you're at a point in your life that the spiritual component is the thing that you feel you're lacking or that you need a guidance of, I mean, I will say visit a monastery. I mean, these men, these monks are just regular men like us who have just basically gone through their own issues, their own growth spiritually, and probably can best consult you. But, you know, just to do it overnight, it just doesn't happen that way.
Gene, good luck to you. We appreciate the phone call. And we need to thank Brother Luis, who's a monk at the Monastery of Christ in the Desert, with us today from Stonebridge Studios at Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Will Morales, a participant in the Monastery, with us from WBUR in Boston. Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here on Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.